journey? How about a journey with an invitation? That video is based on a book that we are going to use next Saturday. There is a children's party here. I emphasize the word children's. Okay, so it is a children's party. Please don't turn up here thinking there's going to be lots of free food and stuff if you are not a child. Okay? So, there is a children's party and there are some special invitations. So, if there are children who live near you, maybe you could take an invitation or two and say to the people who are responsible for those children, oh, there's a really fantastic party going on next week. And Jean's doing the food, so there'll be so much, you won't need to feed your children for a week. Well, maybe not. But it will be exciting, there'll be fun and games and lots of things for the children to do. But we need the children. Yeah, we are desperately wanting to see children in the building. So if you know of children that you could invite, there are invitations here on the table. Please do take them and speak to the person responsible for the children so that they know about what's happening. And each child will get a booklet that is based on that video that we've just seen. Because it's good news, isn't it? Good. Good news. So, Isaiah 53. The last time, maybe. There might be one or two bits of Isaiah that come in over the next week or two. But this is one of the last parts of Isaiah that we're going to look at in a bit of detail. Isaiah 53. Isn't it great? Wasn't it great, Ray? Yes. The name that was used, the arm of the Lord, that stretching out, that reaching out from heaven. It's been said that Isaiah is kind of the bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament, that it brings in Jesus in such a way that we can see the message and the link between the Old and the New Testament. I'm going to ask you a slightly controversial question, and you'll see where I'm going with it. Does anybody know the story of the ugly duckling? Yeah? Yeah? You're all fairly familiar with that? Okay? I want to say that probably the way that the ugly duckling was treated is a bit like the way Jesus was treated. Yeah? If you might think, oh my goodness, what are you saying? Okay, Isaiah 53. Has anyone believed us or seen the mighty power of the Lord in action? Like a young plant or root that sprouts in the dry ground. Okay, we like all that. That's good. That servant grew up obeying the Lord. He wasn't some handsome king. Nothing about the way he looked made him attractive to us. He was hated and rejected. His life was filled with sorrow and terrible suffering. No one wanted to look at him. We despised him and said, he's a nobody. Imagine that, this person who is basically insignificant to the people around him by the way that he looks. But it goes on. Verse 4, he suffered and endured great pain. But we thought his suffering was a punishment from God. He was wounded and crushed. That's what Jesus did. And it wasn't just those, because I missed out a couple of words deliberately. What were the words that I missed out? Not a trick question, honest. Go on, Jeff. For our iniquities, or for our sins, or for us, as some versions say. Yeah? It wasn't just Jesus suffered and endured great pain. for us. We thought his suffering was a punishment from God. He was wounded and crushed for our sins. What's happened? If we look at the history of the children of Israel, the chosen people, they were supposed to follow God. They were supposed to do the things that God had told them to do. But they were a bit like sheep. What do sheep have a habit of doing? Going astray, wandering off, doing their own thing. And all throughout the Old Testament, what you see quite often with God's people is that they wander off. God's plan was that they would follow his instructions and live in harmony with God. That they would keep doing the things that God had told them to do. And that way, there would be a communication between God and his people. The reason that they had sacrifices in the Old Testament was to keep that connection. So people would make a choice. Okay, I know I've done things wrong, and I know I need to put things right with God, so I need to make a sacrifice to put things right between me and God. And so every week or every month or every year, depending on what the particular sacrifice was, the people would go to the temple. They would make a sacrifice to make that connection between them and God, to show that they were committed to following God, to doing God. So they made a choice, because some people didn't do it, or some people did it for the wrong reasons. But God had made a way for people to have a connection with him. But it goes on. Let's look at verse 7. He was painfully abused, but he didn't complain. He was silent like a lamb being led to the butcher, as quiet as a sheep having its wool cut off. He didn't have a fair trial. And yet he chose not to argue his case. He chose to stand there and take the dishonesty, the violence, the cruelty. Let's move to verse 10. Who decided that this would happen? Go on, Ray, tell them.
The Lord God.
Yeah, the Lord God decided to make a different way. God had put all these rules and regulations in place so that his people, if they followed the rules, if they did the right sacrifices, would have that connection with God. But God wanted to open that up to other people. So God decided to send his son to extend his arm, as Ray pointed out earlier on, that he would reach out to this world so that people could have a relationship with God, that their sins would be forgiven, that their suffering would be eased. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. In fact, does somebody want to read that for me? 1 Corinthians 1:23. Anybody found it?
We preach that Christ was nailed to a cross.
Hang on, David. I'll use this. There you go.
1 Corinthians 1:23. We preach that Christ was nailed to a cross. Most Jews have problems with this, and most Gentiles think it is foolish.
Wow. So Paul is picking up on this theme. Preaching this man Jesus And yet to the Jews, it's a stumbling block. Do we know why? Can we explain why it was a stumbling block? Okay, let's think about what happened to Jesus. Okay, Jesus came to this earth and he lived and then he was condemned to death. Okay, but he was crucified on a cross. And anybody who was crucified or put to death on a cross, basically were worth nothing. Yeah, it was a death that would happen to those who were the most insignificant in society. Because if you were royal or if you were kind of a bit posh, you would have, if you were condemned to death, if you were executed, you would be killed in a particular way, but it wouldn't be by being nailed on a cross. Okay? The reason that it was a stumbling block to the Jews is because they couldn't accept that somebody who was sent by God could have a death like that. So they couldn't accept it. And they couldn't accept this claim that Jesus kept making that he was God's son. Jesus kept saying, "I am." That really wound them up because they didn't get it. They didn't understand that this man was who he said he was. So there was a stumbling block. The Jews didn't get it. And Paul picks up on that. Says he's a stumbling block. But not just to them. The Gentiles, they think it's foolish. I don't know if you can think back to the time before you became a Christian. Maybe you thought it was foolish. But he was pierced. He was wounded. He was sacrificed for us. He became the sacrifice. And that's important because that then links in, doesn't it, between the Old Testament, all those rules and regulations, those times when God had instructed his people to go and make particular sacrifices. And then Jesus comes along and says, "I am taking all of that and I will be the sacrifice for the people." But what? It sounds good news, doesn't it? It's a point you're supposed to at least maybe nod. Yeah, because Jesus has made a way for us to have a relationship between us and God, which is a good thing. And it wasn't just for his own people, because it says for the many, which includes you and it includes me. So suddenly, this picture is opening up. This is not just a sacrifice for God's own people. This is a sacrifice so that you and I can have relationship with God. But even so, we recognize that for some people it'll be a stumbling block, and for other people it will seem foolish that we believe in this. He suffered, he died, and he rose again, so that the way between us and God was opened up. Okay, but just like in the Old Testament when there were all these rules and regulations and these sacrifices needed to be made, people had to make a choice. People had to make a decision to go to the temple and make those sacrifices to keep the way open between them. And still in the New Testament, there has to be that decision between those of us who want to follow God and those of us who perhaps choose not to. He suffered for our sins. He made a way for us to be forgiven. He made the way between us and God. So what do you do if you get good news?
Celebrate.
Celebrate. Yeah. Tell people. tell someone, perhaps share it, perhaps phone up. I blessed my family when Simon was born. Simon was born about 3 a.m. or something ridiculous. And I blessed my family by phoning them and letting them know. My brother was not particularly pleased. I couldn't see why. I just had a son and I wanted to tell him. He was a bit like, oh, and then put the phone down. But it's good news. We want to tell people. We want to share it. On Christmas morning, when the children see that the presents are there, they want to get in there and open them, don't they? Because it's good news that the presents have arrived. The time is right. But what about this good news that we have? That Jesus loves us. That Jesus loves the people out there. Are we embarrassed about that? Are we willing to tell other people that good news, that Jesus loves them? So we've got an opportunity both, on Saturday, as I say, there's the children's party, which would be fantastic if we can get people along to that. But next Sunday morning and evening, at 10:30 in the morning, there will be a special service. At 6:30 in the evening, there will be a special service. There are some leaflets about the services that are on the table here. And there's a map. What it would be really, really good is if we could each take one or two streets in Rhyl. Okay? I'm sorry if you live on the outskirts of the area. If you want to do those areas, that's entirely up to you. But we would like to focus on the area around the church to try and draw people in from the locality. Okay? So, for example, for us near Clifton Grove, maybe we'll do Grange Road or something like that. Somebody else who lives further out, maybe they want to do their road. Okay, but if you live out of town, please have a look at the map. Take enough that you think will do that street. And then just put them through people's doors. Yeah? If you feel brave, invite your friends. But let's see if we can share the good news and say to people, well, actually, we've got a special service on next Sunday. Would you like to come with us? Or just put them through people's doors and show them that God loves them. See, if you read the account in the New Testament of the shepherds, what did the shepherds do after they got the news? They went off and told people in the town about what they'd seen and what they'd heard. And I think that is perhaps an example for us, that rather than being embarrassed, we get excited. I've got a clip of somebody getting excited about God. Dr. Lockridge getting excited. That's my king. I wonder how excited we get about knowing the King of Kings. Knowing that he's there with us. But then I began to wonder, actually, if we're not excited, do we know him? That was the question that came over and over again in that clip. Do you know him? So this morning, what I want to challenge you with is that question. Do you know him? And if you really know him, and you're excited about knowing him, what are you going to do about it? Because if we're excited about something, I think we start telling other people. Maybe not at 4 o'clock in the morning, like I did. But maybe by the way that you live, maybe by the way that you act, maybe by going round to your neighbours and giving them a Christmas card or an invitation to a service. Do you know him? Do you want other people to know him? Yes. Thank you, Sheila. Yes, we do. Because we want them to share what we've got. In a dark world, in a world that seems to be in self-destruct with all the things going on, people out there need hope. People out there need some good news. We perhaps need to learn that we need to share that good news with them. So if you don't know him, or if you feel you want to know him more, we're going to pray in a moment. I'm going to challenge you to think about that. Do you know him? Or do you need to wake up that knowledge of him that's in you? That even though you've known him for a long time, actually the excitement has gone down. The willingness to share that good news with other people has perhaps waned. And if you feel that you've never really known him, maybe this morning it's the chance to say, yes, I want to get to know this man Jesus. I want him to be the king in my life. I want him to forgive me for the things that I've done wrong, so that I can have that relationship between me and God that we've been talking about this morning. So let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that at just the right time you sent your Son to this earth. We thank you that at just the right time all of the different things came into place that you had prophesied through your people. And we thank you that we can read about all of those things in the Old Testament. We thank you for Isaiah and the description of the reconciliation and the things that would happen to you that came true. But we thank you most of all that we can remember that at this time of year, that all of those things that came together at just the right time, we can celebrate in that day called Christmas. And we thank you, God, that we have a way of being in fellowship with you, that through Jesus, through his birth, through his death, through his resurrection, that we can have that relationship with God. So this morning, help us, if we've got a bit kind of laissez-faire about our relationship with you, if we've got a bit cold in our relationship with God, would you help us to rekindle that fire, to be excited about the good news of knowing Jesus, of knowing God? Would you help us to know you, even for the first time, in a new and an amazing way, that even this morning you would break open our hearts and our lives, that we would fall in love with you over again, that we would be excited to tell people the good news of Christmas is that Jesus was born, and that through him we can have a relationship with God. And Lord, help us this week, as we talk to people around us, give us a braveness to be able to talk to people about the services next Sunday, about the children's party on Saturday, that we might invite people in to hear more about you, to see your name glorified in this place. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.